meeting. It's March 20th, 2019, 5:30 p.m. I'd like to call the regular meeting of the Tuitt Board of Water Commissioners and a joint committee meeting with the Tuitt Board of Water Commissioners and the Bylaws Subcommittee to order. So we have a bylaw proposal in front of the Bylaw Subcommittee that we wanted to review. And I think you, the Bylaw Subcommittee folks, if you want to join us up at the table, that'd be great. I think you guys have a copy of that. Great.
If I may, I also would like to call to order the Tuitt Bylaw Committee. March 20th, 2019,
Freedom Hall,
5:30.
If we could just do a quick roll call, please. Lisa Mycott Kelly, Bylaws Committee.
Penny LeVert.
Thank you.
Tom Hoppenstead, Water Commissioner.
Mark Robinson, Water Commissioner.
Don Campbell, Water Commissioner.
All right, so we're here to discuss removal and replacement of section 5 of Article 9, right? Which currently, current bylaw reads, the basic use charge shall be assessed by the water commissioners, and each new consumer shall pay this charge before water service is provided. This charge shall be determined by the commissioners and shall be reevaluated from time to time to reflect reasonably and fairly the cost of equipment and labor necessary to provide water to new consumers within the district. This charge shall be in addition to the cost of extending water mains and the installation of the water service as stipulated in Section 4. The funds raised by the assessment of this basic charge shall be accounted for by the water commissioners separately and shall only be used for capital improvements by the district's water system. Service for buildings constructed before May 29, 1973 shall be exempt from the basic use charge. So we found last year when we were discussing the bylaws, we found that that bylaw was insufficient and really hadn't been funded since it was installed. And the insufficiency, I think, was largely because of the stipulation that it only be used for capital expenditures. So when we were talking about that bylaw, we wanted to have, first of all, a more uniform and reliable source of funding. And we also wanted to have those funds be available not only for capital expenditures, but for land management or any unforeseen problems with the system. So we came up with a new bylaw that you guys have looked at. And I think you have that in front of you. Do you want me to read that into the record? So it's an article that would be in front of the district to see if the district would vote to establish a stabilization fund for the water department. It's in accordance with Mass General Law Chapter 40, Section 5B, as amended in 2016. And it will be used for extraordinary or unforeseen expenditures, including but not limited to capital improvements, emergency situations requiring immediate funds, and or land management activities necessary to protect the integrity of watersheds, which are hydrologically coupled to the district's wellheads. This article requires a 2/3 affirmative vote of the district meeting to be successful. And that would be two-thirds of the registered voters present and voting. So we, I guess we would remove, first we would remove the old bylaw, then we would insert that one. And then to fund that, to make it a reliable funding, we wanted a second article, which would become a bylaw, to see if the district will vote to accept provisions of Mass General Law Chapter 40, Section 5B again, as amended 2016, which allows the dedication of all funds generated from the water meter charge at $20 per meter per year, as prescribed in fiscal year 2020 water rate change, into the Water Department's stabilization funds. Deposits into that fund will be made following the collection of the first and third bills during each calendar year. All expenditures from this account would require a two-thirds affirmative vote at a district meeting to be successful. So basically, we would establish a fund that's going to have one around $40,000 to $50,000 a year in it. And it would accrue.
Yeah.
It would accrue each year. And if, say, we had a situation where we had to construct and install a treatment plant for somebody's home or a neighborhood, we could pull funds out of that after we go to the district and say we need to access the funds for this. So it's an insurance fund.
We have a stabilization fund.
Okay, good.
That we can authorize those expenditures from now. So I'm not sure why we have to have a separate one for the water department.
I don't know. I didn't know we had a stabilization fund.
What is it useful?
Could it be authorized to be used for watershed protection, watershed management, emergency systems management, upgrades to the system as we need it to be?
It's my understanding, yes, as long as it's authorized by the voters.
Do we have the wording on that stabilization fund?
It would probably have to have come up with a vote.
Right.
We'd call a special meeting of the village.
So we'd want to do it during the regular district meeting, mm-hmm. when we have the most people here.
Yeah. The requirements would be the same as you're proposing in your water department stabilization fund.
So go ahead.
With the money that we get from the metering charge, be isolated from any other money and not be used by any other part of the district?
No, not necessarily. It's my understanding, and again, please speak up if I'm incorrect, because I'm still fairly new to this, is the stabilization fund can be used by the district as a whole.
And we were looking at trying to invest in future things, keeping, if we have an investment through this funding, and we need to spend $700,000 on a project, and we've saved $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
We could take that money, put it towards the cost of the project, and then lessen the cost of borrowing money for that project. If it's that money that we collect is not there for us to use, then we've defeated the purpose of going through the whole process. It's like an insurance thing is trying to invest in the future of our system and trying to keep it, you know, this $20 a year investment over however many years, and then we try to lower all the costs we can, and the cost of borrowing money is a cost.
Mm-hmm. I do have a question.
Sure.
I agree that $20 is nothing, but with the proposed rate increase for the water usage, people are going to be in shock when they get their water bill. And a $20 fee above and beyond for stabilization fund. My personal bill, she's very nice, was going to be increased by 150% when it's phased in. I'm sorry.
She.
I'll speak up.
Yes,
my question was.
That will voice
$20. Isn't that much a year? However, the proposed rate increase is going to be a shock to the taxpayers that is being proposed. My personal bill will go up 150% when it's phased in. $20 is a little, just a little bit more added up. I think the taxpayers are going to be up in arms.
But there is, I'm sorry, the tax rate will adjust downward.
Are we sure of that?
Well, that's the only...
As long as the district doesn't buy more things.
If you've got to spend $10 million on stuff, I can't guarantee that, but it would, this money that we bring in through the rates will lower the tax rate of the water department.
For water?
Mm-hmm.
All our services.
We're sure about that.
You're sure about that?
Absolutely. It will, for water. Now, if the district decides to spend that money on new fire apparatus, then you might not see a drop in the tax rate because the taxes will go up to pay for the fire apparatus. Right? But for the water department, we were asked by the Prudential Committee and by the district to look at becoming more of a self-sufficient utility. This is a way that we could become a self-sufficient utility. But if it goes into a general fund, then it becomes anybody's money. And it's no longer available necessarily for use for what it was originally proposed or thought to be used for, which would be for water system emergencies, capital expenditures, problems with the system.
And if we can have that money to take care of future capital expenses.
You're talking about this $20?
Yes.
Okay.
That money right there is possible, and it is, I can't guarantee this, but as our capital expenditures that now that we have on the books start to be paid off, if we are borrowing less money as future capital expenditures come up, it's possible that we either stay level funded with this in the future as it goes out, or hopefully it can be lowered, the water rates. We're looking at every 5 years reviewing this and seeing how it stands. Are we going to stay current with this? Is it taking care of the needs that we have? Do we foresee that the possibility that some of the capital expenditures that are on the books right now are going to be taken care of and they'll come off the books? If we need to borrow, if we needed to have something, the project for the number I gave, and we're going to supply almost half of that amount from the money that we put into this investment, so there's less money being borrowed that'll be carried on. I can see how that can at least keep that rate at a level pace, if not lower. That would be my hope, but I can't see into the future. But that was the goal of this right here. We're trying to keep it so it doesn't get any worse, if not get better.
Can someone explain how it works now? Is there how the whole process works now with the water department, how that money comes in, and where the lack is and how it gets made up? Or if there is a lack of funds and how then it gets...
Do we want to get into that right now, or do you want to... We can have an open forum as soon as we finish this part of it right here. We have an open forum. We can discuss all that stuff. But this is like a little subcommittee within the thing.
Committee.
Yeah. No, believe me, you have all the time you want to ask all the questions you got, and that's coming up next.
Okay.
Could you refresh me on the new rates? I just can't remember exactly how much it's going up. And by the way, you've heard me say in public many times, we need to raise those rates.
We're counting on that again.
So,
well, it's common sense, and everything else in the world costs more, and we've been too lenient anyway, and I just can't imagine people not going along with the raise in the rates because it makes common sense, it's consistent with the need to keep our good people on the staff who come here and we train them and then they go off somewhere else, and that would give us the extra funds to pay a better salary to our people.
Have you reviewed the rates?
That's what I'm asking.
This is a different subject,
yeah.
Though. You know, we're looking at a $20 bylaw.
Yes,
and
I'm
a fund,
sorry,
and a stabilization.
But I think
and I agree that it's part and parcel to it because
yeah,
that's how it would be funded.
Yeah.
But I think we need to try to stay focused on the stabilization fund. And if we want to use an existing one, then perhaps we'll just rewrite language and we don't have to have a new bylaw. We just rewrite the language of the existing one, remove and replace. So it's,
Mr. Chairman,
I don't really see the difference.
I've just reviewed the bylaws.
Yeah.
I don't see provision for an existing stabilization fund other than the water department's stabilization fund.
Which so never was funded.
Is it something that's not contained in the bylaws? It's just an account of the treasurer?
Correct. I believe that's something that the treasurer has set up. That we've always, I think, had a stabilization fund. I don't know how much is in it. I don't know if Ms. Parks
could
help
us
with
Ms.
that.
Parks? Fran Parks, chairman of the Prudential Committee.
So we have a savings account, and that's how we paid for the last ambulance that was purchased. And we put $25,000 every year into it. So call it whatever we call it, a savings account. It's a stabilization fund. That's exactly, you know. So we do have that, and that's what's been used.
So is that set up pursuant to Mass General Law 40, Section 5, where it's only can be used for certain things? So it's different.
No, it's not only used for certain things, but it does require a two-thirds vote to, you know, to spend the money. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe if sometimes if you look at the description, they transfer and appropriate. Mm-hmm. They transfer from the existing funds that they have so much before they appropriate the rest, whether they have to borrow or not.
Yeah, we looked at our bylaws, and we were focused on the water department section of the articles for the district, and in our Article 9, Bylaw 5, we have a stabilization fund. It's just insufficient. So we were actually asked last district meeting, or sometime around there, to take a closer look at this bylaw and revise it so that it would work. So that's what we've done.
Yeah, and the reason I think that we put this up before, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, we know that we have some expenses coming up down the line. We didn't want the money to be gone into another place if something happened, whether they put it away so they didn't bring the tax rate up next year or 5 years from now. Eventually, one day, we're going to have to put in treatment of some type, filtration, yeah. Something. We're going to have to build a plant. We were just looking for a way to offset it now, put some money away, not take it out for that, unless there's something that came up, an emergency situation, but something that would not hurt somebody 5 years down the line. We're not asking for $1 million or $1.5 million, whatever it takes for a plant now. And it will increase every year.
And we wanted to keep it independent so that since we're changing the rates to be more of an independent utility off the tax rolls, we thought, geez, it'd be nice to have our own stabilization fund for the same thing.
Can the bylaws committee commit to $20 for any financial amount of money in a bylaw? Can we say an amount of money?
I don't know.
I believe our job is just to decide whether or not
but it wouldn't have to include the $20. Can the bylaws incorporate a monetary amount in the bylaws?
Right now it doesn't say, there was no, the existing bylaw doesn't say an amount. It just says that all the money from that activity would go into a stabilization fund, and it's never happened. So if we wanted to go get that money now, and it would be upwards of $700,000 by now, it's not there.
No, I'm just wondering whether legally, so,
yes, you can. I believe you review the section of the bylaws where the water district can fine people. That includes amounts of what they can issue for fines.
Just so you understand that this, where we chose to get the money from was a new place, so we weren't going to interfere with any existing cash resources or money that would affect the district. We didn't want to touch the tenant revenue or the CDAC or any of that stuff. We just wanted to have a different cash influx using the metered charge. So everything else that the district was used to getting will continue to get. That's why we're doing this. That's why we came up with this proposal for a meter rental, which is not an uncommon thing in a lot of water districts. Some people, they rent out hydrants or stuff like that to an area that's covered. There's a lot of different ways that people get money for their systems. We're trying to use water rates and for this investment use a meter rental every year.
Is there an average? Do you know what the average meter rental is on the Cape?
I don't know. I don't have those numbers. I was using information from actually Rhode Island, but I could get some information on that. But the $20 is going to give us between $45,000 and $50,000 a year. And it has to be substantial enough to mean something when we have a big expenditure without being so exorbitant that it was going to be a stress on people.
I know COMM has a $30 semi-annual account charge, so $60 a year.
Thank you.
But that's just one of the districts.
By a vote of the bylaws committee to indicate that, yes, this should go on the warrant, it's for the people to decide. It's not for us to decide.
Right.
So simply voting to put it on the warrant is simply to that shows that we are turning it over to the people in an orderly fashion for them to vote.
And if they say no, then they say no.
Yes.
We're just trying to find a way to better prepare for the future and be more responsible in things that come up.
Might I just add, things are happening in this world that we can't quite anticipate totally about the quality of the water. It's a furor, really, across the Cape. And so how this may dwindle down or work its way down to actual action here at some future point, it's just a mystery right now. What might come down the pike from the feds or the state that we can't quite imagine yet, but could be related to the water quality of not just our drinking water, but others, but we would come into the picture at the same time.
It's just a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
My last question without being a pain. This goes, if we do this, this goes to the voters, correct? The rate increase does not go to the voters, is that correct? I just wanted to know.
Yeah. So it's our responsibility, according to to the bylaws, to set the rates. And that's why we're going to go to the Civic Association in April, and we've got information posted on the website. And Mark's put a lot of work into some frequently asked questions that are up on our website. We're trying to get the word out about the rate increase so we can hear from the district before we do it. Because quite frankly, our water department will run without a rate change. It's your taxes that'll go up. Right? Or the water bills. And the funny thing about it is, you know, you look at all of your utilities, and you might think Comcast is a utility, and phone, your Verizon, and your oil, and your electricity. Even at 130% increase, or 150, whatever you reference, it's a fraction of what you're paying for those other utilities. And it's water.
I think there are a couple issues here. One is the fact that existing Section 5 that talks about a water commission basic use charge is really for connections, new connections.
For new connections.
After 1973. And we're not generating more than $2,000 or $3,000 a year in that nowadays, so it's not really useful for a capital fund.
Correct.
And all of the money that had been collected from 1973 up until now has already been spent from something other than our little stabilization fund for the Water Commission, which is fine. My point is Section 5 is not being followed. It should be done away with. if we want to replace it with something else, that's fine. But it's not working the way it was intended to, and it's not generating capital monies. And so it needs to be changed to something. So it seems to me that this proposal would provide the Water Commission, Water Department, with access to funds, not just for capital, but also for emergency repairs. And, you know, Chris has already identified one capital project that's on the horizon. And so I think it's nice to put away some money for an expected need like that. And I think that $40,000 to $50,000 a year is representing some real progress towards capital expenditures. So we're not just burdening people with another bond issue all, you know, all at once. And what's the other thing I was going to say? Oh, that the draft that was proposed said that the two billings would be done during the calendar year. I think it's during the fiscal year. Because we bill the basic rate charge would be in December and March, so that's a fiscal year thing, not a calendar year thing.
So that, yeah, that's, I was hoping that you guys would
be fiscal year instead of calendar year.
I think so.
Yes, it is fiscal year.
So, and I think that this discussion really doesn't get to the discussion, broader discussion of rates and taxes. It's simply a meter fee. And it gets to people who may not use any water, but they still have a hookup that's useful for when they do want to use some water. So I think it's fair that everybody is paying, whether they are using a little bit of water, no water, a lot of water. They have the hookup. They have the service available to them. And that's what the meter is representing. And so I think there is a logical connection between the collection of the money and the expenditure for the water service.
It's such a nominal amount. Why are you spreading it out into two billings?
So less of an impact.
Okay.
That's really because this change is going to be a big impact overall.
Mm-hmm.
And just want to try to, if you spread it out, it makes it less of an impact.
Okay.
Try to be conscious of everything. It may not seem like much, but we're conscious of it.
A question here. I think at one point you folks shared the rates and the workings of the other water departments in there. And so I assume you're going to show that again at the meeting for the public votes, because it's shocking when you compare how little we're just charging compared to other people. So I'm just hoping you'll do that as you did before, but maybe in more detail.
So I guess it comes to this, for the bylaws committee. We're minus one member today. I don't know where Mr. Conlon is. I wouldn't put him in, but you know, we take this suggestion and have discussion at another meeting before. Within the next couple of weeks before we would have to
I never used it. Sorry about my host.
That's okay.
I probably don't know how to turn it off.
Yeah, and that's something I was hoping that you would take a close look at the wording as a bylaw subcommittee and see and make those little changes, like, okay, it shouldn't be calendar, it should be fiscal, and any other alterations you want to make.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing, and I don't know if this was written up even right, but if we're talking about emergency situations, should we put or special district meeting in there also?
That would require a special district meeting just by fact.
Oh, would. Okay. So but just by putting district meeting, we're okay with that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the bylaws committee will, I'll put out an email to find out when Mr. Conlon might be available, and we'll meet within the next couple of weeks so that we can review this further.
Mm-hmm.
But all in front of us. Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks. Thanks for coming. Yeah.
I'm kind of naive about this.
We all are, and we're learning as we go.
I'm going to adjourn the Kootenai Fire District Bylaws Committee, March 20, 2019, at
6
p.m.
You're lucky.
Thank you for coming. Thanks.
Thanks for your signatures.
Mimi, I put that there too. That's just the rates. Now you were asking to be refreshed for the rates. I put that little thing beside you on your right.
All right, so we will continue on with our regular meeting of the Board of Water Commissioners. First agenda item was the bylaw subcommittee joint meeting, and we got that done, and now we'll take public comment, public questions, comments, suggestions.
We're recording the meeting. We just have to have you come up and say your name and go from there. Sorry about that.
I'm Al DiMuzio. I live in the Commons, Kootenai Commons over here. And just, you know, how is it that we've got the place where you get money from us for the water and then it gets made up by the taxes? How does that work?
Why don't you, if
okay.
you could, please.
Just some historical.
Yeah. Because I've been here the longest. This is my sixth year. What has it explained at that time that there was a combination of 50, 60, 40 percentage for the operations and the labor for the running of the water department. This did not include the capital expenditures. So it did not include the health insurance. It did not include the retirement money set aside that the district's responsible for. That never made sense to me anyways, to have everything all in one lump sum, but that's the way it was done. We did that for a long time. There has been, we had a number of visits from different members of the financial committee a couple years ago questioning us about the rates and how, you know, we're not covering a major percentage of the water expenses with the rates. And he was including capital expenditures and all the stuff. And the numbers that we were always looking at didn't match up with what he was. And there was seemed like a push from the financial committee to raise the rates, which we hadn't done in 12 or 13 years before. So that was got the ball rolling. And then 2 years ago, the financial committee put forward a warrant for $25,000 for a rate study and what's the other part of it?
Cost of service.
Cost of service.
Study. Which when they did that. As chairperson, then I proposed that we have a meeting, a joint meeting, so at least we'd be part of it. And then I was told at the meeting, well, this is your money anyways, we can do it. So it's been a long process of searching out. We put out bids for people to come up and do this study within the 20 years to do it. They've done this study. We came up with a number of different scenarios. The only difference from before is that we were looking at including all of the expenses of the water department, health insurance, retirement, capital expenditures, operations, and the labor. The only thing that's not going to be covered by the rates is a percentage of what they came up with to cover the fire protection cost of the water because even people that do not have water fields benefit from having fire protection. So those percentage of our overall cost will still be covered by taxes, which can be very small. I mean,
10%.
10% as compared to 50 or 60%.
Okay, so I mean, I understand the idea that you are in invited to be self-sufficient in a way.
Yeah.
I get that. Nonetheless,
the offset is the taxes that were going to cover all those expenses will come off the books and be covered by the water rates.
So I pulled my quarter out of this pocket and I put it in this
exactly
pocket. So I'm not really getting the whole, you know. One question would be, what other town departments have their own self-sufficient funding?
COMM.
The
Centerville Hospital, Martin Mills.
Barnstable Fire District.
Barnstable Fire District will, when they get done with their rate adjustment, they just finish. Well, they adopted new rates.
I think they
in
have
a
one
year,
more year.
2 years, they got one more year.
Our fire station and all those people are paid by the district, not our taxes.
They're paid by the taxes.
The district tax, which is on top of the town tax.
It's like a village tax.
Yes.
Yeah, so the village of Barnstable has its water pump.
Yeah.
The real advantage is there, except for the fact that we need some maybe stable fund, you know, bag of money in case we have to do something like that. So I'm not sure. I'm just confused. I'm getting into this in the very beginning.
This is the confusion part of it is going to affect everyone. Sometimes it affects me. But it was a push. Just do it, and then that way, if we maintain it every 5 years, we revisit it to make sure that we're still in line. We need to lower the rate, and do it whatever it is, and then just move forward. Once you get through that first year, because the first year, the tax rates won't go down because the tax rate's based on the income from the year. So the first year, as the rate goes up and the taxes stay up like this, it's going to be a hit. The second year, the tax will come way down.
The district.
District taxes. So,
which makes up that?
Which makes up that difference?
Okay.
Okay.
So it's really an allocation issue to me. It's there's no advantage. Well, the advantage is to the water. Frankly, we've been giving away water for years in this place.
Well, you shouldn't give away water.
Well, we have been, but the rates have been.
Well, wait. No, I'm sorry. Have you been giving away water, or have you just been supplementing with a different funding source? It doesn't sound like you're actually losing money.
It's a question of money, but it's also a question of water. So. By artificially keeping a rate low for the cost of water, there's no incentive to conserve. Run sprinklers during the rainstorms, who cares? It's all basically almost free. So now we're going to have a rate that it reflects the true cost of water service, and hopefully that will provide people with a sense of value to the water, that it's not free. And I think that it's going to reflect the fact that we're not going to be expanding the pie of revenues. We're going to be staying in the same ballpark of overall revenues. We're just allocating it differently. Less tax, more water rate. Reflect the true cost of water. Conserve water. And I think that's why I'm supporting this.
And so it's in some way, and I don't want to use the word, words can charge people, but it's in a way it's a bit of a punitive thing. Along with some spiritual
If you're wasting water, yeah, it's a punitive thing, absolutely.
Again, I'm just getting into this and I've read some stuff online, which is not really complete, but I understand that and would have to be crazy if I could fill all the stuff in and go there every day online. But if it's a 40%, if it's 40% is being covered by water,
and 60% by taxes.
And 60% by taxes, then, but yet the rates are going up like 200%.
Rates are going up depending on how much water you use.
Yes.
In a graduated fashion.
The $100 is 3 times what we're paying, or most people are paying $36. So that's 200% more, basically. 200% more on that basic piece. So what I'm wondering is, all that stuff, can it be, can we do jump
steps to get to it. But you pay $36 during the initial bill. That's the base bill. And then you get an overage bill.
Well, I'm conservative, so I never get an overage bill. I always only pay $36. And I saw your bill go
for the year.
$80. Does your bill then go to $80, $36, $80? What do your bill go to? It's only $36. But if it changes. Oh, if it'll go to $100. It'll go to $100. Okay.
That's with the $20
fee. That's with the $20
fee. So it would go to $80, actually, plus the $20 meter fee that we were discussing if it passes that district meeting. Yeah, I know.
No, we're just trying to I know. Yeah. So, and we're going to go into, instead of two bills a year, four bills a year. So it'll be, you pay half the first bill period and half the third bill period, because the second and fourth are for overages on water rates. So there's one other thing I did want to mention. About a year and a half ago, there was a project that was being proposed here that would make some money for the district, cut offset costs. It didn't go for a number of reasons. But the people, the 100 plus people that were here, if you need money, raise the water rates. They haven't changed in forever. Raise the water rates. It was loud and clear. And they would support that.
I said it.
Yeah.
So if you don't use much water, you're going to win.
Yeah,
your taxes are going to go down, and you're not going to pay that much more for water.
I understand it, but you know, there's also other people and other people going to ask me and friends and neighbors and all that too. So if we keep the conversation going, because once it started, at least we get more information to understand the whole scope and really what's going on. That's what I'm here for tonight, to get a clear picture of what's really happening. So
the only real decision that I think that we're going to be looking at with input from the district is whether it's a one-year change or it's phased in over a few years. And there's different rationales for both.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a firm believer that if you're going to do it, just do it. So you can see the exact, you have 1 year of pain, and then you have everything back to normal, and you'd be able to see the difference.
Right.
Instead of having 1 year of some pain, but not all the pain,
mm-hmm.
and then the next year, some pain, not all the pain, you just spread it out. You can't really see the difference. And the other thing that I think is really important, which I would like to see, is have the public come and hold our feet to the fire when it comes for us requesting things. You know, we need this and we need that. I swear to God, I've been coming to these meetings for a long time, and we used to have huge meetings with a lot of discussion, back and forth, and people getting excited. In the last three or four meetings, these district meetings for 45 minutes, and no one's asked a question by anybody. They say, yes. The village needs to be involved in what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting informed in here. Otherwise, you know, we can do anything. And I don't believe that we should be doing this. We should be looking out for your best interests.
That's true. That's your job. You know. And the only thing of tonight that I have in some way a little weirdness about is that you guys just can set the rates no matter what. Without any discussion, without any backing by the district, without any vote, without any, you know, you can just go, hey, we're going to put $100 and that's it.
Do you see that happening here?
You guys seem to be honest people, but nonetheless, it's in the thing. And unfortunately, in the days that we live in, someone says, hey, you know what, I'm the commissioner, I can raise the rates, and I want a new vehicle, or whatever, you know.
So where the vigilance as a voter comes in is coming to the district meeting and making sure that there's a decrease in the tax rate to offset this water rate increase.
Yeah, it's good. We have advertised meetings every month.
Understood.
And that some topics are key and interesting. That if you come, believe me, we're not here more than an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours. And topics of discussion may be focused on one part of the meeting. Not to stay for the whole thing.
Right.
But I would love to see people here.
Sure.
You know, it just, it's good for us, and it's good for the district.
And water is something
that we're trying to get the word out, because I know when people get that big bill next year, when it goes through, they're going to say, well, we didn't know this was happening. So we've got all this information on the website, we're going to do filming, we're going to do all sorts of things.
you can only lead the horse to the water. You can't make him drink the water, right? So tell your friends. Learn
about
it.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I mean, the only thing
does you said Kutuwa Commons?
Commons, yeah.
Do they have any kind of neighborhood meeting or anything?
People walk on that street.
Yeah.
Or just wherever.
Because I'll come and talk to them.
Within the neighborhood, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess that would be the only downside that I see, besides the other questions that I had, it may sound like a downside, but just more confusion, is really just you guys are like autonomous with raising rates. And there's no check and balance here.
Yeah.
I see, you know, that, and I know we can get 1,000 people here and go, we don't want the rates change, but not you guys.
So then you can change that bylaw at the district meeting and say that the water commissioner should not have that power.
Or there's some check and balance.
Right, and whatever they do, it has to be they have to have a majority vote here. And Don's up at the end of this year. There's going to be an open position.
I have no issue.
He's leaving. He's not coming back. After 6 years, he's retiring. So I'm just saying, you know, if you feel that strong sometimes, every year you can run for anything. Between the three different positions that are committees.
My job at the moment is just questioning on the inquisitor.
And lastly, I said this last month, and I have to kind of correct myself in a way. There is some language out there, and I don't have it with me. I was promised that I would have it, and I didn't get it, so I have to make a phone call tomorrow. But the state of Massachusetts, DEP, has strongly, they can't state enough, suggested that everybody become self-sufficient. Every water department in Massachusetts. So this talking tonight kind of made me realize we're really the only one in Barnstable that doesn't, because the town of Hyannis, which you and I paid the taxes on because it's owned by the town of Barnstable, their prices are way up there. So they're pretty much self-sufficient. Calm is self-sufficient at this point, and so isn't Barnstable Fire District. They're about 1 year away from being. So it's we're really behind the eight ball on this and everything.
Yeah, we do need to get that policy.
Yeah, I have to. Patrick was supposed to get me that information, and I'll see him tomorrow and talk to him about it.
And trust us when we say we're public servants. We're not doing it to get rich. We're not going to raise water rates to go buy our superintendent a new truck just because he wants a new truck.
It still has to go to you guys.
We look at it.
We still have to
really
vote
closely
on any vehicle I get. That's
yeah,
for sure.
We do. We take it to heart. We look at everything as close as we can. And to us, to be self-sufficient makes a lot of sense. You can subsidize it with taxes, and you can pull it out of your left pocket, or you can pull it out of your right pocket and be a self-sufficient utility. And I just think it made sense for us.
And that might be a question, too. The more we bring in how it helps and everything, that might be a question for the finance department. I don't know how it affects them by them coming to us asking us to be self-sufficient, how that helps them. It might be a question to ask the treasurer's office or something like that.
Right. If we have a banner year and all of our users decide to, you know, use a lot of water, right, then the rates will bring in some revenues that will exceed our costs. Where does that money go? It goes to the Prudential Committee, and they decide.
Fund, yeah.
They decide. They put it in the general fund, and they decide how to allocate it for the fire department and other district needs, the Freedom Hall, whatever.
Right.
So there's a lot of checks and balances in there too.
No problem. Thank you.
Right. There is a deadline. Thank you. Thank you. Any other public comment?
No, but can we stay and listen?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Please do.
I don't want to hear a peep out of you, though.
Public comment is over.
Thank you very much.
All right, we want to take a look at the minutes from our last meeting. Thank you.
Chairman, these minutes look fine. I just had a more general comment. There's a little inconsistency on all of the minutes, between the minutes, that we say that the minutes were approved of the previous meeting, but unless you happen to have that date or those minutes available to you, you should know what that date was for that previous meeting. So, for instance, in November of 2018, those minutes said the minutes were reviewed, accepted, and signed, as were the warrants. So the minutes of what? Well, the minutes of October, or actually, that. So I think I'm missing October. And we have September here. So that was my point that made me think of it, is that which minute. So the same thing happened in December, but I noticed that in January and February, the actual date was recorded. So we just need to make sure that we're consistent on that.
Yeah, this one has
it does, yes.
But everyone does.
Right. So just a minor point, but I think knowing the Cracker Jack staff, that they'll find a way to make it happen. Is it clear?
I think you just did. I just think you found a way to make it happen.
Okay. Thanks, John. Sorry to be a
John,
pill.
You're great.
My mother
you're
used
thanks.
To I move that we approve those minutes. Those minutes being the ones of
these meeting minutes of February 13th, 2019?
Absolutely.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Unanimous? All right, we have some warrants to take a look at.
Have the availability pretty soon, yeah.
I see that her email changed, so I figured something was
yeah, we
going
have our
on.
Domain
some
now.
Technological advance here.
Yeah, we are really? Now at water.
Giving up the stage
water.org.
Yeah.
That's everybody nice. Should have got my blast. If they didn't, let me know. I sent out a blast to everybody. That was my email, new email, and everything else.
That was you?
Yeah. So both Jen and I, she's Jen.
I saw Jen. I didn't see you.
Yeah, I sent one left later on in the afternoon.
I have to take a closer look.
I don't know. Maybe it only came. I tried doing it.
I got it.
Did you? Okay, good. Did you? Thanks. One of the engineers I was talking to today said, no, I didn't get it. So I got a couple back, but that was it.
Other guys doing the overtime and the on-call.
They love it. They're fine with it.
They're not complaining.
Not at all.
It's a good crew you have.
They are a hard-working bunch.
Yeah.
Bunch of you two.
Bunch of two. Pair. It's good.
Yeah.
It's a testament to your management.
Why, thank you. Yeah, we have a mouse control there, and we do not have any kind of chemicals. We use mint spray to get rid of any ants that we might have, stuff like that, so yeah.
Can I rent you my cat? Only because...
I don't have any of them balloons.
Is it a good mouser?
Around the house.
Well, apparently, when I went out to cook my lunch on the grill, I just closed the door tightly, and the wind blew it open just a little bit. And a mouse cut in, and the cat tore up the sunroom trying to get to it. Ain't that so? Because she was playing with it, like in this way. While Kathy was sitting on the couch.
Well,
I have two cats that do the same thing, except that they bring home chipmunks and give it to my dog to play with in the back. So they'll get it just right, then my dog will run around the back thing and act like a cat on his back, throwing it up in the air.
It is fiber optics, huh?
Yeah.
Is that great? Fiber optic communications.
Yeah, that's actually a bill that...
I thought it was going to be free.
The fiber optic, that was the last payment.
This is for the SCADA?
For the changes, yeah. Some of them, we had a change order at the end, and this one I think you're looking at now is the change order. The one before it, there's two of them, was actually the last payment we did with the USDA loan. We've been holding the money to the side until the guys finished the job. And they finally finished, and a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, but never sent me the bill again, and then contacted me a week and a half ago, saying, well, where's my pay? I said, well, where's your bill? So they resent everything out to me, and we got that all taken care of now, after tonight.
Good.
So those are some past due catch-up stuff. But they hadn't finished till just before the Valley Communications came in to do their work.
Staying with Cape Cod Media Group?
No. That will be leaving, but when we had some stuff that we needed to go through to get them to put a new firewall in with the current stuff that we had and bring a couple different switches in so that the fiber optic would work through the system. But they will be, I'm already calling them now, getting the different IOs. I can't do the lingo. I try, but I can't.
Yeah, admin system.
Tried.
Good.
Got you. I got them all everywhere, too.
My kids at school are beyond themselves sometimes because I don't use the stapler, the paper clips. So I can reuse them.
Way I am.
Yeah.
I was surprised to see that on one of the warrants if it's stapled.
Okay. Done with warrants?
Yep.
Got everything back? Water quality report?
For the month of February, we had no coliform hits at all. Everything was clear, clean. We had our VOC testing done, our volatile organic compounds. All those, which included the MTBE, which you have in there that we've been doing now twice a year, everything came back non-detect on all those. So we're in pretty good shape. We did actually do some tests Monday and got some bottles ready for next month to do some nitrates that are due this quarter. So. We'll be waiting on those. They're supposed to take them next month. We can go from there. So possibly.
Okay. Did we miss one in February? Was that February we missed one? Did we do it in March or was it January?
It was the end. We were trying to get the VOCs done before the end of the quarter, and we ended up getting it done finally.
Okay.
It was just because of people not being there, not getting the bottles in time and everything else.
Okay. How's,
but we did do all right.
How's Mrs. Tromba? Any news?
Actually, we're kind of on a, I have the report back from Patrick. I've made my comments on it. I was going to hand it to him tomorrow. So he could just give it, it's a draft right now, which when he came out and visited and went over everything with his suggestions. They're not much different than anything else, any of the other suggestions. He just stating that we should do what we're doing, keep doing what we're doing at this point. So she was sick again. They just got home probably a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And
when the guys were out flushing the hydrant out front. She came walking in and gave him a yelling, I don't want to hear about it. Nobody does anything for me. Nothing's right. Still is dirty and this and that. And then she turned around and walked in.
Still manganese, so, or iron?
Yeah. That's what she still has the hot water issues.
Yep.
Okay.
I do have a question. I know Jen may be aware of that someone had a question about PFAS. And
yep.
He read an article in the Boston paper and wanted to know what we're doing and we're aware of it and all that stuff.
Correct.
I thought he was going to be here today. I thought he said, at least I got that he was going to attend the meeting to the questions.
So maybe he might be coming later on. I did talk, I think I told you last meeting, I'm not positive, that there's been a change of directors over at the Barnstable County Lab.
Yeah.
And the woman that right now is the acting director or of operations, I believe, the big person is Sean O'Brien, who
yep.
is over there now, and he's actually told me that they have the equipment to do the testing there, they just don't have it together, and they're waiting for the okay from DEP to give them the certification. So I was waiting for them to get online so they didn't have to ship anything out to Rhode Island or wherever they have to ship it now to be done. But they've just came out with the guidelines on how to sample it. You can't wear cologne, no moisturizer. You can't use latex gloves. You've got to use nitrile gloves. The container has to be a certain container. It can't be plastic in any way. And everything that they have... It's unbelievable. You can't put it in. It has to be ice. You can't use the plastic frozen preservative for coldness. You can't use Sharpie, permanent thing. So you have to use ballpoint pen on it. But if you put it in the ice, the ballpoint pen runs off of it. You can't read it. So you have to put it in certain bags, I guess. It's ridiculous what they just came out with. But you got to follow it. So I'm sure the packages, when they come now, are going to be boxes like you wouldn't believe with every bit of piece that you need to put in there. Even the containers, they'll probably make you bring in a styrofoam container, I'm thinking now,
maybe
instead
glass.
Of a plain cooler.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
even
that,
for,
that
even,
glass
yeah, even to bring them in, yeah. It's incredible what they came out with.
The test
I'll
is
quarter
per
trillion.
We talked about putting some money in the budget for doing that.
And we have it right now, yeah. We do have it. So if he does come up with it before the end of the year, we will do it voluntarily. But we're not, like I said before, we're not required to do it because we're under 10,000 population. So we're just not required. So we have said we want to be proactive. We want to get in there and test it. If I can give them another call, find out, you know, how they're doing on it, how far they've gotten, if they've got the permitting in and everything. And if they don't, ask them, hey, if we do it, will you send it out?
We should do it at least once a year because there's enough of a question in people's minds.
It's getting a lot of
check. This is what we've got.
I actually have a hand on it. Yeah, it's parts per trillion.
Yeah. Yeah. And like with the town, with Hyannis.
You have a little fire retardant in your clothing or
yeah,
on
well
the couch that you were sitting on. And
yep.
you get that in the water, then.
You can't wear anything with Gore-Tex in it.
No. Yeah.
They said when you're doing the test.
So
it's ridiculous.
Very
yeah, basically, yeah. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to be the one taking the test then.
There's a YouTube.
We just put video cameras at all our stations.
Can't do that.
Okay. Yeah, because that's what happened with Hyannis, is they went from parts per billion to parts per trillion.
Parts per trillion, yeah.
And what Hyannis had in their water, what used to be acceptable, yeah. became unacceptable when they changed the ratio, or the parts per trillion.
Yeah.
So that's what put them into, and the only way they can get under compliance right now is they're mixing it with some water from Yarmouth and diluting it, basically.
Well, they're endocrine mimics, so just a slight,
yeah.
I mean, a part per trillion does things to you.
Wow.
This is being distributed around the country, but it's for private wells.
Okay.
This is the Silent Spring.
Yeah.
everybody seems to be concerned about that.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
So, you know, the Lower Cape has a lot of private wells, East Hamwell, Lake Truro.
Yep.
It's probably more relevant out there, but the point is that, you know, people are throwing money at find out what's going on with that stuff. And that's the whole controversy of the Fire Training Academy and the airport. When they showed the pictures in Texas of the burning... It's all the same foam that has this stuff in it.
Yeah. You know, the tank farm down by the power plant, all those huge defense. There was a fire there about 20 years ago.
I remember that. It was in the early 80s. I remember that.
It was far away as Providence to get foam concentrate poured down there. And I know the fire school has stopped using that stuff a number of years ago now. But every fire truck that drives on the street, it's got 40 gallons of concentrate.
Vehicle fires.
Yeah, any combustible, flammable liquid.
But this would be good for our private well users,
yes,
in the village.
We have some, right?
Yeah, we do. So I don't know if we can contact them and let them know that there is some free testing available for them.
Yeah, there seems to be about, I believe there used to be around 70-something, and that was probably the last time I looked at it was... maybe 10, 15 years ago.
70 households?
Yeah, there was one time down on, if you went around 28, didn't have water on it, the different houses when there was no water. Like a lot of people on Pinquixa Cove still don't have it. Vineyard Road, nobody down on Vineyard Road had it. So there was quite a bit in places we can't get, like where Jen lives over on Laurie's Lane, still isn't to it, but we don't have any way to get access over there. So there is a few people out there still.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's down to probably 50 or something like that. But I had to really sit down and look. The last time I did it, I drove the streets of Kachua with a checklist in my hand.
I don't
down each road, how many was on there?
I mean, it doesn't make sense that we would have a major spill of it or something around.
Yeah, we don't have a ton. I'll put it that way, yeah.
All right, anything else on water quality?
Nope.
Superintendent's report?
All right. Superintendent's report for February, read on March 20th, 2019. In February of 2018, we pumped 5,641,000 gallons of water. And in February of 2019, we pumped 6,997,000 gallons of water for an increase of 1,356,000 gallons more. I will tell you that we had two freeze-ups this year that almost the two of them equaled over 1 million gallons. One of them was 800,000 gallons. Nobody knew. The guy's house was just filling up and running over and going. Nobody had any idea at all and just sucking right in. That was over on Kachua Cove Road, I believe. Guy was a summer resident, you know, had left down to Virginia. Left to everything, the heat must have went off at one point. And then there was another one that had 200,000 over on East Eisenhower.
So we'll be getting a letter from them, I'm sure.
I'm sure the 800,000, they'll ask for a break. So, yeah, we'll be asked for something there.
But we were giving away.
And if you look, actually, also, I was looking earlier with Jen's pretty chart that she makes up about water usage. And last year was an historical low for February. If you look, I don't think that we ever had anything that low. We're more up to the average area that where we usually pump in February. But then again, I don't think we had any freeze-ups last year. It was a pretty mild winter where nothing happened until almost the end of the month. Yeah. All right. We didn't have any services put in, new or replaced. A little bit on the new truck. I think we're probably going to get it within the month. Right now, we have the old truck sitting in the driveway. They've taken everything off of it. They're putting everything on the new. They painted it. I did have them sand down the old cage that was there, repaint the old cage, and put it back, put in the tank again, so it does add maybe a couple days on there at the most. But I tried calling the guy today. He was in a conference call with somebody, so he didn't give me the update I was looking for of if it was still a Doring truck in equipment or if they sent it back up to MHQ. So we actually bought it through MHQ, so I believe I have to go up to Marlboro and transfer the vehicle out. And I believe he told me it was going to take 3 weeks. That was to this week, made 3 weeks from when they had it. So I'm just waiting on the phone call that says they're ready to do it. I'll call Ray, get a check, and bring it with me and go.
Great.
Tower North. I don't know if you noticed that this. I sent around a picture to everybody that at least we're making some kind of progress here. One set up there. They're still going back and forth, but they have not hooked everything up as of yesterday. They're still waiting, but we're still getting the check, too, for them being over on the side. As you were saying, the Ospreys are showing up slowly this month. He said he saw two yesterday, I think.
Saw one yesterday, saw one the day before.
Yeah, so you better hope they don't get here quick and start putting another nest on top of that, because they'll have to keep giving us rent until that thing's gone.
The cows will have to stay.
Yeah.
Can we charge them double rent?
They might if they can get money from the Osprey
right.
for rent. Also, yeah. So I'll give you a little bit of the security system we're moving right along with. The guys from Valley Communication came in and. He has installed, we added one camera at the office that he has to come and install, and he has a couple antennas that are sending wireless pictures at the tanks. They had to wait until they could put the poles in and pour the concrete around them, and with the cold weather we were having a couple weeks back, they couldn't get the concrete truck out just for the little sections that we needed. They were just two sonotubes, basically. Mm. So it took a little while, and they finally filled them the day the guy was leaving to go do a job someplace else. I talked to him. They're supposed to be here next Thursday. He said he's going to try to get here Wednesday and hook up the other stuff, but them and GHD will be here to look at it and assess the SCADA system at that time and go on. But it's moving right along. I have the TV with the different videos, cameras going. Right up above my door. Jen's got one up in the office up there. So it's kind of cool to see, too. I mean, I get an alarm. I go right to the station. Yep, there's the guys walking in. I can see them walking in, see what they're doing. I can zoom in on them. It's pretty cool.
So will we be able to announce at the district meeting that project is completed?
I think last I saw was September.
Yes. Because of the SCADA updates and everything, maybe not,
right.
But I think we can give a percentage at least of being so many percent, if not maybe 80% or something like that.
Can we make Donna commissioner for the day then and let him announce it?
I know that I don't know who is presenting or if we have presented the budget completely to the presidential committee.
I think we have.
Did we?
Yeah.
I would like to increase something as of yesterday. We're going to need to put in some new computers for the new secure network system. When they were there doing everything, they've assessed that Jen and my computer do not have the proper, I guess, Windows for it. I have Windows 7. She has Windows 10. They're not going to be supporting Windows 7 anymore, and my computer's not got enough storage for what they need. And the same thing with Jen's. Hers actually has less than mine. So they need to get a couple newer ones. What we want to do is take hers and rebuild it in so that it's good and put it down for the new assistant. So he'll have the one on his desk, and he can do what he needs to get the different reports and the different filings and everything.
So this is for the new network system that ties us into the rest of the
correct. Concept. Correct. And so that we can, it's with the Autotask for.
Did we have a separate line for that? I think we did.
I'm not positive.
If it,
I think it just has to. I mean, this is going to be going. I think you can do it with your cell phone if you have to. Tell you the truth. I don't know to sign them now. I believe you can do it from home. You can do it on your phone. You can do it from a tablet.
No, yeah, I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about you guys. That's a line item in our budget you want.
On computer. We have a computer line budget right now, and it's going to start out right away then. If I put it off, or I'm going to have to overspend the budget this year.
So what dollar figure are you looking at?
I think $4,000 would take care of it. They said that it's for three of them at the time, and I told them I didn't want three. I wanted to rebuild the old one and put it down there. It was $5,000-something. So I'm assuming I can, if I get $4,000 more there, even if it's over, under or over, I can absorb it into the budget. I have a little bit of a cushion there, but I'd like to increase it by 4,000 just so for the two computers and the updating of the third.
Okay.
You're okay with that?
Yeah. I was thinking we were short $3,731 and the people haven't paid yet. It's going to lien. Can we use that money?
It's the lien money?
All right, so I'll have to talk to somebody or have somebody talk to somebody about that. And there's still a chance, you know, that some of it might come down. Like,
has the budget gone to the clerk yet?
No, he doesn't go to 30 days before.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we still have to figure out salary for an assistant, what we put in there, where it's going to be. So that could go up or down there also, but that can't be put into the other part of the budget. It might be just an overall picture.
So I would just touch base with Fran.
Okay.
Do we need any kind of motion on that, or is that?
You do. Don't you need it by the end of March? Don't you need, we'd like to have our full budget.
Yeah, we have our regular monthly meeting on Monday.
I'll talk to Fran. You don't. I'll talk to Fran on it, about it, and tell her what the situation is.
Yeah, look at the cost estimates.
Yeah, and that's another thing. The man from was supposed to get me the actual estimate yesterday. And I don't know if it's because of my email address that he gave me. I didn't get it, but.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I asked if Chris could just update us on this water management permit. I'm not really up to speed on what that is. And, this woman, Megan, from K-Den Howard, is trying to slough off some of her work, I think. I'm a little upset about that.
Yeah. I don't know if you know that. Because, well, you know why we need the water management permit and everything else to get to draw the water out of the ground. Back when the previous superintendent was here, we started this process. They gave us an extension. They extended the whole Cape out so many years. We had to reapply back in 2015. So we had Tater and Howard come in and reapply for it. Then they said, okay, we're giving you an order complete for 5% extra to be taken out, but we've just said that you guys on the Cape can take 10%, have a 10% buffer instead of the 5% because of your seasonal influx and everything else. So if you want to do it, you have to reapply them. So we reapplied again to get that extra 5%. To have this done, we have an order to complete now. We had to, I have it here, actually with me, I could give it to you to review. We have to do the mitigation that says that so much land has been bought and has gone to conservation. And I contacted Jackie probably 2 years ago, She gave me of everything of what the Barnstable Land Trust had bought, because I asked them, I said, does it have to be Kootuat? Because Kootuat hasn't gone up there, but the town of Barnstable has got purchases, the Barnstable Land Trust, in Kootuat that has been dedicated to conservation. They said that would probably work, and they agreed that it would work. I don't know if they're having a change of mind or not.
Well, the whole field is adjacent.
Right, and I guess the way that she explained it to me was something about a land owner acquisition or something. I'm not really positive. It's confusing.
Yeah, so my question is this some new mitigation points that you get for land protection?
Correct. We get so many points for each acre of land bought.
Points, what does it do? It gets you more volume that you can pump? Is that okay?
If I can get to a certain point on the list, they'll okay the
5% extra?
The 10%. Yeah, the 10% extra. Yeah.
Have we ever needed that 10%?
We exceeded it by 7% back, I think, in 2016.
It was a really...
We had a really high year that one year. We had the drought and everything.
So the point is that to get this arbitrary number of acres, it's 50 acres to get your mitigation points credit.
Okay.
It needs to be land that is held for conservation but also subject to a conservation restriction. So, for instance, the 16 acres that the Barnstable Land Trust bought around Lowell Park,
yep,
has a conservation restriction held by the district and by the town.
Yeah, that should be fine. Yeah,
that's 16 acres of the 50. And now this Megan, who I don't know, but she's been emailing me, Barnstable Land Trust, Lindsay Council of the town, trying to figure out where is the 50 acres. So if there's an acre preserved in Hyannis, there's no relation to what's going
on.
No, it
shouldn't.
But apparently, it all qualifies, so it's kind of a silly exercise.
Does it have to be purchased within a certain time frame? I mean, could the Crocker
2005
piece?
2005.
Right, and I believe I gave her a list that Jackie gave me of land purchased in Kootuat.
Yeah, so anyway.
So I don't know where she's coming up with other, yeah.
She's causing a lot of upset because she's trying to make us, the land conservation people, do all her work, pull deeds, pull copies of 20-page conservation restrictions, and frankly, I'm wearing two hats on this whole thing, but that's stuff that she needs to do, and I told her that. If she has to come down to the registry of deeds and pull things, I'm sorry, but that's her job, not our job.
Right.
When did the hospital?
We've given them all sorts of deed, book and page references. If she doesn't have
that should be all she needs, as far as I know.
But then the other thing is that not all of these parcels have conservation restrictions on them, but they still are protected land under what's called Article 97 of the state constitution. DEP is overreaching on this thing. That's my point.
Yeah, they put in, if it has a conservation restriction and it's in Zone 2, you get 5 points. If it's just got a conservation restriction, it's not in the zone, you get 2 points. It's a weird mathematical figure.
And then the other thing is they want the groups that are offering up these arbitrary acres to count towards into a water permit to sign a form that says if there's any violation of these conservation restrictions, thou shall report to the DEP within 10 days of the violation. And so the Barnstable Land Trust, they're not going to remember that DEP has this oversight. So my overall point is this something new that hasn't been done before in terms of getting those mitigation points? And if so, and if it is new, somebody's got to tell DEP they're going about the wrong way, because Article 97 land is protected land. It doesn't need to have a conservation restriction to it. And that's what I do for a living.
Right. And I don't know why they would even take into any kind of consideration land that isn't in Kootuat, because it wouldn't have anything to do with us.
Right. So we don't have 50 acres since 2005.
Same land.
Right, yeah, I'd have to look again and find the list that Jackie sent me.
She's on this fishing expedition, which she seems to think she can do all over town.
She's just looking at the Sagamore lens, probably, and saying if it's contributing to the Sagamore lens, then it counts.
She's supposed to compare it also to, I got some stuff from the town of Barnstable for drainage.
Is she experienced on their staff?
Actually, yes, they've been doing it for quite a few years, but I'll...
Well, I don't think you need to be involved. I just wanted to report what I've seen elsewhere.
I can give you what we had, what has to be done. I'll give you a report from when we got a notice. I have it here, and you can take a peek at it.
It might be something that we want to address with DEP statewide, and I have some avenues to do that at Environmental Affairs. So.
Thanks for coming, Lee.
Thank you.
I like your ringtone.
Pardon?
I like your ringtone.
Me too.
When was that Santua Pond, the Hostetter golf course proposed? When was that bought? Was that
2000?
It was
early. Yeah, that was before.
2005,
yeah.
So that's a big chunk.
That's 300 acres. Yeah.
And it contributes to, five, right?
It's going to be hard to have, each time this has to go through, come up with more acres.
Have to come up with more?
Well, I mean, I applaud the idea of encouraging districts and towns.
All right.
Okay.
Anything else on superintendent's report?
No, that last thing I had on there was the Water Management Act update that you had asked for. Yeah.
Yep. Figured he was reading your mind.
Sure.
Can I get a copy of this, or can I have
this?
Can I have this?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just a copy, anyways.
All right. Yeah, so you got a deadline of March 20th coming up, which is, today.
Today.
Yeah, well, they've extended it because you guys had the Barnstable Land Trust, actually, let's see, you had concerns regarding the landowner agreement. So they which she's been discussing with DEP, DEP's taken your concerns into consideration and working on revising the landowner agreement. So in the meantime, they've extended our order to complete.
Okay.
I haven't got the hard copy, but that's just from her stating that they had stated that that's what they were going to do.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. So, and this does, it gets done every 5 years or something, 10 years? What's the permit?
That's a 20 year permit? I think that 20 year permit, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Old business? Cost of services rate proposal discussion. We need to discuss that tonight at all. I think Jen wanted us to take a look at the two proposals that the consultant sent and either tell them to prepare to present both proposals on the 16th of April to the Civic Association or
just
one.
We just want to do one. Nobody's going to be able to follow either one. So.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
We got to tell them what we want. And if they don't like it, then we have at least something else to show them. But
so
we should have a preferred alternative.
So they have 4D1, 4D2. And it's my understanding that one of them defers coverage. Yeah, so one of them doesn't really, I guess it's a half rate increase for fiscal year 20. So that's the phased in.
D1 is the
go all in. And D2 is phase it in over 2 years. And as I told you guys last meeting, you know, Barnstable phased theirs in over 3 years, or five years, 50 cents a pop.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you do that, then your tax rate stays high.
Yeah. You know, right? It doesn't allow you actually see any change in it at all.
No, not much.
If you could push it in there.
They barely noticed it.
You wouldn't see a difference.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think I've been pretty clear about what my preference is. But I just one person out of three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just think keep it simple and just bite the bullet for 1 year and get it done right.
Because for 1 year we would still have a $285,000 deficit. Pays it in over 2 years, and we still have a deficit that first year.
The first year, yes. And just you don't really get to see a full. You are paying the full tax rate mm-hmm. on the one that's over 2 years for the first year, and plus half the rates. And the next year, you're seeing a reduced tax rate, mm-hmm. but with another increase, yep. and you won't see a full. Reconciliation there between the taxes and the water rates for the third year out,
yeah.
which gives you, instead of just 1 year, people not have 2 years, people not have.
Well, you raise the rates again? Is that what you're saying?
I would be out there,
yeah. You raised them last year, you raised them again this year?
I got it. The rate adjustments on number one on both says new minimum base use charge of $40 biannually in FY20. Is that for the meter fee? Or is that...
No, that's just the annual
the
charge.
36, what's yeah. 36 now will be 40.
Yeah. And that, well, it'll be 40
yeah.
every 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is the $20 service fee in here?
No.
I don't see that.
That would be, so it would be $50 we'd send out. It'd be $40 for the and $10 meter fee.
Hmm.
So it would be a $50, whatever, and we'd have that done at the time.
Do we want to include that in their presentation, or do we want to keep that separate?
Well, it needs not be a surprise, so I think if you get everything out there, nobody will come up here and say, you're going to buy it.
Right.
Is that the other
That's why I don't know why it's not in it.
If we're doing this with the rationale that we're trying to self-fund, we haven't accomplished that if we're running a deficit.
We're not running a deficit. This is...
No, in the D2 one. We are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right.
So I'm coming around to just doing it all at once and fight the ball.
Yeah, I think for presentation purposes in April, I like the idea of going with the D1 proposal, and if we hear from the Civic Association, enough people in the Civic Association show up and actually contribute constructive criticism to it, say we'd like you to phase it in, consider phasing it in, then we could consider it.
Yeah. Again, this is my preference, but it's two things. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think that's where they can have input and persuasion. If it makes sense to a broader public that phasing is attractive to them, okay. But I think if we're sincere in saying we're trying to self fund, why put it off?
It would be 1 year. And you should see some relief.
So go with the proposal for 4D1.
Yeah.
Now, do we want to take it a step further and say that's what we want to do?
What's our preferred alternative subject to public comment? Right.
But we're not presenting an alternative to
that. No.
So it's not an alternative. It's what we want to do.
We've looked at 5 or 6 different alternatives.
Yes.
This is the one we're recommending.
This is the way we're leaning, and we'd like to hear from them.
In order to...
If they have a different
to create a self-funding department as soon as possible. This is the way to do it. And you know, I think we need a good graphic. I don't know if Kata can do it, but showing the allocation now, like a pie chart kind of thing. It's very visual because people are not going to get it. This pie is not increasing. Pie is just being cut
not
ways.
Right.
If everybody's doing their job honestly, sincerely, and cutting the tax.
Yeah. Just on the water side. They just have to keep in mind that there's other parts of the equation that
might. If I'm paying the same tax and my water rate is quadrupling, I'm going to be curious. Right?
See, right now we're at 60, almost 60-40. It's 455 that we fund to billing and 680 that comes from our taxes.
Close. Yeah, let's do that. Could I have a motion on a preferred alternative?
I move that we present a preferred alternative for the
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Further discussion? At this point? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous.
It's funny how much you spend time thinking about this stuff.
I know.
Right? Do we want in this chart? It says existing rate and tier schedule. Why can't we put the numbers in there?
Okay.
Somebody will ask. I mean, we want to show them. Yeah, it's increasing. We should try to hide it. It's increasing. Absolutely, it is.
I'll have them fill in the existing rates, the $1.80.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a single person living alone without a sprinkler system, they should get a real boom.
Okay, how about assistant superintendent candidate discussion? Don, I think you had a thought on this.
I have a couple of things. Part of this, I'm just going to give up.
Thank you.
a time, I would think.
Yeah, one at a time, yeah, but we're going to be able to.
Yeah, that's.
Hiring someone is not, should never be taken lightly, because you're going to have them for 20 or 30 years.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky, yeah.
Well, as somebody who runs a small organization with a small staff, I'm very aware that compatibility and the recommendation of the supervisor is paramount here. I'm more concerned about what Chris thinks than what we think, frankly. I guess the question, Chris, is do you feel that these two people who I do not know, they apparently have met the qualifications we set out in the ad. I think what Don's saying is it would be nice to have some more education, but maybe we didn't ask for that.
Well, yeah, I mean, we had, I totaled it up, 14 applications come in. I interviewed 10 of them. Some people I didn't feel had the years' experience in there. Some people had no experience, so I didn't interview certain people. I believe out of the 10 that I interviewed, these are the two that I figured would be, that were the most impressive to me in the interview, that seemed to have the most knowledge about talking about our system, to actually fit in quicker than, or step into their role quicker than some. And when you say about the qualifications, neither one of them are supervisors right now. We only actually had two people that applied that were supervisory. Both of them were, one was off Cape, and one was well outside our radius. And he said, there's no way I'll move. He said, you guys would have to change your radius before I'd move. So I said, it was just a question I asked and everything, yeah. So when it came down to, I said, well, you know, these guys have been in both of them combined over, I think, 30 years. If you look at the two of them, I think they're both 15 years, something to that effect. They've been in quite a while. I did do reference checks on them. I didn't do Corey checks on anybody because you have to get their license number and their date of birth, which neither one of them put it on their application, and I didn't want to ask for it until it was time to do a question, you know, a check like that. Usually in the past, we've said pending Corey check, you're hired. So I don't know with the other employees at least.
So I guess my question is, they met the minimum calls, but they haven't done supervision of others before.
Correct. And there was.
Then maybe this isn't an assistant superintendent we're hiring, maybe it's a senior operator. Unless you advertise some more and get some more names.
I don't want to misspeak either.
Which said assistant superintendent.
Right. That was what we put out there. That's what we wanted. And that's what the whole idea is, to get this guy out there and to get me in, I guess, is how I want to say it. But I do want to state before I misspeak on it and everything. Actually, my number one candidate does not have his backflow license. He's willing to take the test. He doesn't have his backflow license.
Okay.
So he's willing to take the test, do it, and everything else, which I knew we might have to find somebody who didn't have it. But number two does have it. So he's actually has a little more of the qualifications, but I didn't think he would be as much of a fit as knowing already some of the equipment that we have and talking to them. And I can explain more why number one candidate, number two candidate, and everything else after that, but why I felt a little more comfortable, I'll say.
Did you check their references?
I did.
On that?
Yep.
Okay.
The first candidate I did is the check. Three different people yesterday. I didn't get a bad review at all. Actually, I got one guy saying, please don't take him. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what I'll do if he's not here. The second candidate here came with references on a piece of paper, with letters of recommendation, one from his current boss and one and three from a previous position that he had.
Did you know number one?
Which one's number one?
Sean, you worked for Sandwich.
No, I didn't, but evidently...
15 years.
10 years.
The police officer I worked with dispatching is related to number two. As a brother, I believe. He left me a message, and I told Chris about it, so I won't be open about that.
Yeah.
It's interesting, I looked at this as an assistant supervisor title, but more of as a hybrid job. Senior operator and assistant superintendent. Because I did see them. Brian was in the field guy, but he wasn't assistant superintendent. But we really need someone to transition into that because we need to have a backup to be able to run the show and still be able to be back and forth with the guys. So I looked at this kind of a hybrid job with a senior title.
Right.
And it is in his job description, in the posted job description, that they have they do supervise field operators, direct field operators and vendors, aspects of operating the water utility system. So they've seen that. You've talked to them about
it. I've told them what they would have to do, and they questions that I gave them that they would have to that I would put them in charge of. Different projects, multiple, and I even gave them scenarios saying, what would you do in this situation and stuff like that. So both of them, you know, gave me, I asked them both the same questions.
I trust that you've done your due diligence, and I trust your opinion.
Just to say a little bit, that the reason, I'm not saying candidate number two was bad in any way, but candidate number one, with our current system, talking to him and talking about situations that we have at the pumping stations, he came right out with, instead of giving me scenarios of how to fix it. Do you do this? Because you could cut your chlorine, and you could do this, you could do that, and you could get a better, maybe they'd run a lot cleaner. You wouldn't lose this, you wouldn't lose that. And giving me suggestions that I've never heard before, you know, because I'm new into treatment here and everything. So this is stuff that I've never heard. For someone who's been in treatment for the last, you know, 5 to 6 years and has the same pumps that we have, I just got those pumps. Boy, I know, they're great, aren't they? And he starts giving me this.
And
you know, and everything I had, he had an answer to and an explanation of why something should happen. It's just, he was very resourceful and knowledgeable.
I gave the impression that he would probably be a much quicker and asset to be going right away.
Correct, yeah. Whereas candidate number two, I would say, would be almost in the lines of starting over, relearning the stuff that we have, happen to teach him the people he's in charge of teaching him how to use the equipment, the pumps in the pumping station, the different pulsar feeders, the different Moyno pumps and stuff like that. Whereas I believe this guy could step in right away and say, hey, no, we got to do it this way. And as I said, you know, as we are a small department, we don't need, and I asked him the questions of how would you make sure, you know, when you're coming down to the situation where you got 2 weeks to finish, you know, flushing the town, and it doesn't look like you're going to do it, so I'm going to come to you and say, hey, we're not going over. You got to get this done. How are you going to do it? How are you going to approach it to the guys and everything else? He says pretty simple. He said, I'm not going to do anything they're not going to do. I'm going to make sure that I'm there to help them, you know, and if I need extra time, I'm going to come to you and say, hey, can we do this on Saturday? Can we do this, you know, and the answer like that, you know, stuff that boom, 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 boom. The scenario came out. He said, and hopefully it wouldn't get down to 2 weeks. I'd let you know before that, you know, that we're looking at this, looking at that.
And he's works well with other guys.
There was not a complaint from anybody on it. And I asked him about the public because we did have a problem with our last gentleman with the public. And he said, you know what? I'm the guy they send to the public. He said, whenever there's a complaint. So.
So we're gonna spend. We're gonna have a special meeting for this. This or are we?
Is that your preference? Is that your preference?
No. It's up to you.
It's not up to me.
Just asking a question.
No, it's not up to me at all. Up to you guys. I mean, I personally, if it was, my personal decision, but personally, I would say I would defer to Chris's judgment. So I don't need to interview these gentlemen. I don't know how to operate a water system, and that's what I would be interviewing them about.
So I can ask Chris a question. And, for number one there, is there a reason why it was this January 16th start, August 16th ending?
Where? In Hanover? Yeah, he said he thought he wanted bigger and better things, and when he got out there, said, you know what? He thought he wanted to leave the Cape. He said, and go on from Sandwich and try to get in, and he says it just wasn't the situation he wanted. Okay. Yeah. And he's actually said to me also, he said, one of the comments that he made to me was, I had asked him why he was leaving, he would be leaving where he is. He says, I wouldn't want to leave. He said, because I'll tell you right now, this is the only profession right now, he says, where I look forward to going to work. Every other job I've had in my life, he said, I didn't want to go to work. He says, I look forward to it. I enjoy this work.
Yeah. And Falmouth has a new plant.
Correct.
I'll be touring that plant a week from Friday.
I get invited to go over there. My guys want to go over and look at it. We just haven't had the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm bringing a group of students over. So.
Nice. That's real nice.
Is that the one on Gifford Street?
It's the brand new one that they have. I'm not even positive where it was. I don't know if it's right on Long Pond or if they kept it.
Right on the reservoir.
It overlooks Long Pond.
Yeah.
Right on the reservoir.
Yeah, because that old plant that they had, I don't even understand how they ever did that. They just pumped water out of that pond, dosed it with chlorine gas, and put it into the system.
It's the only surface water on the planet.
Yeah. And I can't understand how they didn't filter anything out of it.
So are they not going to use the pond anymore? They're just
they are using it, but now they're filtering it. Yeah. So that's the whole filtration part of it and everything they put in, and because they had that big E. coli hit and everything, where they were horrible. Everything went to you know what.
It's a beautiful pond.
Yeah.
So I don't know anything about pumps. People would be informed, the person to ask questions, but I do have, like I stated this to you today, and I'll say it out loud so the rest of the board can hear it, the importance of people being able to work together is critical with small corp. And the personality of the person has to be able to be able to see what the needs of his employees are. You know, as far as you doing the job, I've had worked for people that have felt that knowledge was power and they kept themselves and didn't share it with anyone. You know what I mean? When I look at that small department as being, everyone should be cross-trained to a certain degree, so everyone can be able to do something. And if you feel that whichever one you choose is of that personality, that is the only thing that unless someone is going to be positive.
And that's what I felt with this guy. And in the references, that was something that they said to me, that you're not going to find a kinder person, nicer, you know, with everybody. He said he can get along with anybody, which, like I said before, in the position. To go back to your question where Brian, the senior operator, I didn't want Brian to be my assistant. That's why Brian was never an assistant. I gave him the opportunity to be an assistant, to step up, straighten out, and do something. And I said, we'll revisit it in a year. He couldn't last 3 months before he was right back into his crazy ways. And I just said to him, you know, I can't help you anymore at this point. You're happy where you are, and you don't want to go any further. So at that point, I didn't want to go to the commission and say, hey, I want an assistant. You know, we don't need anybody else. Can we have an assistant that's going to boss Brian around down there? Brian would have had to leave. We would have had an extra employee around and everything else. It was either I would have had to fire him to get an assistant. And at that point, I think I had 5 years before I thought he was retiring.
Well, so
Are we required to interview this person?
We are not.
No, we've been doing the interview process. We hired Jen.
I don't want to waste their time and our time. I would really want Chris to be making the decision. It's a big decision, but that's why he's in charge.
Right.
Charge of the staff, certainly.
I have a copy of the bylaws, and I read them earlier.
Yeah, you guys do the hiring.
I
would have to give you the suggestion, and you guys would have to make a motion on it.
Unless you think that they would like to meet us to learn more about.
Why don't we do this? Just a suggestion.
Okay.
You know what you want. You make the offer, and then have that person come before us. And you start the process, but he still would come before us and present himself at our next meeting, and we would talk to him, but it's already done. Does that make sense? Maybe more than he would.
You mean it?
Yeah.
And introduce himself, you mean?
Introduce himself and stuff like that.
Yeah, the bylaws, I believe, read that you guys do the hiring and firing.
I have the bylaws here.
I just had a copy of it. If you want to pull out a copy of it.
I'm so organized. I'm so proud.
It's going to be chairman. Come July.
Did you give it to me?
June. Read from it.
Water commissioners prepare budget, recommend salary rates, certify bills and warrants, prepare articles for voters, annual report, financial status, condition of physical plant, control property, authority to determine rates, regulations. Careful supervision to protect the interests of the waterworks and the public, show the powers, duties, and responsibilities. Into all that general law. So, water superintendent, training of personnel, coordinating with other water departments, directing, administering day to day operations. So it's the water commissioners shall appoint the water superintendent and other staff as needed and shall provide management and oversight of said staff.
Right.
So we just gonna, we're
so we're point. We get a point. So we should.
That's the way I read.
So yeah, we should meet him. Just make sure he doesn't have horns coming out of his head.
So then, to your question, should we have a special meeting
no.
for this? Are we going to wait a month then?
Oh, do we have to?
Well, my question is, when would you prefer to have someone start?
Looking at our objective originally, we had said a start date of April 8th. If I had somebody call tomorrow,
huh?
We'd still give them time for 2 weeks' notice, I believe.
2 weeks?
Know.
So that was the target date.
The target date was April 8th, yeah. It doesn't have, like I said, that was only to try to make everything for us to be.
You might need to give 2 weeks' notice, right?
Right. We'd like to be able to be as nice as possible. March. So let's just say if he came in and gave us notice on Monday the 25th, he would be, April 8th would be 2 weeks.
Oh, so you want to, he gets to go.
Right. And I did have some very highly qualified people that were too overqualified. As far as I was concerned, there was some very, very good, and I had a lot of people that were all treatment, some people that were all distribution, some
no mess.
Yeah, the mixes that were kind of hard to find in there. There was a couple guys that had the mixture in there. I just felt as though these two were the best fit for our department and our situation that we're in.
Could we try to meet on the week of April 1st? I mean, it's either that or next week, and I don't know if we can get it in next week because it's got to be posted.
It's only going to be posted.
I'm busy Monday and Thursday.
2 days?
3 days, isn't it?
3 days? Three business
48
days?
Hours before a meeting, yeah.
So this could actually be done because this didn't the score being worked on this week?
What's that?
What they doing the floor here next week?
They were hoping to get it done by the end of March.
We could actually do this at the at our office.
The back room.
Yeah, we could do that, and you guys are still going to have to set the pay. You guys set the pay between, we had said, between 70 and 80. I think you guys could go to the lower side for either one of these guys, too. There were some people that applied that said they wanted the higher side of that, and that would be that if they were to be hired, they'd have to need that. So I believe these guys here are both right now operators, and I think if they were offered somewhere in the low 70s, 72, I think they take it.
Their salary should be public information.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Their salary should be public information.
Public information once.
Once, yeah, but I mean, you could talk to them about it. I mean, I could always, like what I did with Jen, we came through, did it, everybody sat down, asked our suggestions, we gave it to them, they put theirs together, they decided who to hire. I called Jen the next day and said, they've said this much money, they'd like to hire you at this much money if that's acceptable to you.
Yeah.
And Jen said, I'll take it. Yeah. So.
How long does it take for a court check to be processed?
I can get a court check done in 1 day. When I go to do it, it's usually back right away, it gives it to you. I just need to get his information to put it in.
What's the soonest we can meet? Assuming he's available.
Well, we could probably meet on Tuesday of next week. Tuesday or Wednesday.
I can do Tuesday or Wednesday. Next week.
I'm good Tuesday or Wednesday. So 5:30 Tuesday or Wednesday at the
office?
Behind the office, the main building?
Yep, main building.
Does that have handicapped access?
It doesn't have handicapped access, but I get everything. Right now, that's the whole table and everything else has everything from that truck on it. We used it as a storage place, but we're switching the trucks and we get the new truck.
We
put everything
in. Can we do it right in Jen's office?
We could.
It's only three of us and four, but
yeah, I think it wouldn't be a problem. Do you want just the one person, or do you want the two?
I want who you want to have.
Okay. That would be candidate one right now.
And then you'll have this Corey check done, and we'll meet and greet, and then we'll go over the money part, and then we'll be done.
Okay. So, it's your pen. Sorry.
Well, so if whatever is better for him, Tuesday or Wednesday, because we're flexible.
You said that's Wednesday or
Tuesday?
Tuesday
or Wednesday.
26th or 27th.
You want to get it done the sooner the better, Tuesday?
28th, I'll be in.
He's available.
All right. I'll talk to him and.
Maybe we should wait till after that.
Yeah.
I want to get stuff done.
Me too.
Tuesday, the. What did you say the date was? 28th? 26th or 27th.
Yeah.
Regular meeting.
5:30.
We have one more bit of new business.
I do have something quick under old business.
Okay.
And, it's kind of a redundant thing, but I said I'd bring it up again. And Tater and Howard, gentleman has brought up again, Ryan, that we have actually been asking for quite a bit more outside of the scope of works. Between running the different scenarios and how much with the beginning time with Ray, he said
says they're up to about double of what they put down in time and money. They were wondering if there's a possibility that we would give them partial of that, of pay for the over and the above work. I know he asked a couple months ago, he came to us with a scenario,
yep.
And we said the price of doing business. Now, we've asked him to do a couple months later, we've asked him to run different things, different scenarios, and he's come back and run some other figures and stuff. And he says that right now, to complete the project, they're at about $48,000 and they put in $24,000.
Right.
Between all the extra
they
work
said
they put in.
Do the job at $24,000.
And I understand that they underbid it a little to get the job mm-hmm. and everything else. I'm not asking for a full $48,000 in any way. I think that's kind of an over.
They also fell flat on their face with the deliverables
right.
in terms of the timeline. They didn't get
right.
it done.
Right.
Have they submitted the report yet? Well, we've seen of these scenarios. So we haven't seen the report.
Right.
Right. We haven't seen the final. Yeah, I guess you're right. We haven't seen the actual survey itself.
Well, I mean, you know, you deliver a report saying what you did, your findings, conclusion, recommendation. Yeah, I haven't seen it.
No. And my question is, if we weren't going to be going over scenarios as part of this process, then how would we know, how would we get what we want? Scenarios would have to be part of the process.
Once they got all the data, the scenarios don't take long to change. It's just flipping a few numbers on a spreadsheet. It was the collection of the data that I think takes time, particularly with the delay from Treasurer's office.
Right, which is the report, the cost of service study.
Yeah. But to be asking for more money when I haven't even gotten a draft report, it's kind of weird.
So,
where would you get the money, Chris?
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you have it?
Well, I have some, yes. I have some money left in engineering and legal. I could probably squeeze out. I'm looking at here that there's about an estimate to complete the jobs at about $9,000, something like that, they had said. That's only what they estimate and everything else, but they put it up to the 48. I could come up with some more money if they wanted to put something there, but I don't know how they would break it out, you know, and I don't know if you guys want to have them break it out and do something like that. I didn't want to do anything without talking to you guys.
Your relationship with them on other contracts?
They've worked with us quite a bit, quite a lot. They did the whole chemical feed project also. They're doing the Water Management Act with us right now.
Sounds like you feel a little obligation. So.
I do in a way feel a little bit, but I don't feel...
You have to work with them when we don't.
Right. Well, I don't feel a huge obligation, put it that way. I do think that maybe if we threw them a little bit of a bone and said, you know, hey... we're willing to give this much more, but we think that a lot of it falls still in the scope of works. And
so if we said that because of the delay on our end getting information through the other office of the district is worth $5,000.
That could help,
okay.
I would think.
I do think that, I know Patrick Container Howard does an awful lot of stuff. I think to benefit his business,
yeah.
A lot of advice. He's gone to that woman's house in Roosevelt.
Yep.
That
yeah.
Stuff. So it's a relationship that is a good one. We want to keep it. I don't think this would ruin it, but it may affect any free help coming up in the future.
Right. And he's there for a lot of advice, too, when I call and ask him for advice on different things.
But I could talk to him
tomorrow.
We want to see a report.
Yeah, okay.
I want something to put on my website for the public to view.
So how much money do you have?
Left over right now? As of today, it's right seen here. Left over in legal and engineering, I have $27,000 there. But I got to think, we're still doing the Water Management Act, so some stuff's going to come out of there. I haven't got any of the legal bills. I don't see a ton coming in. To tell you the truth, I was going to suggest the 9 to finish, and I thought I could squeeze that out, no problem.
And you'll have no trouble with putting in submitting a bill to the treasurer's office for David Howard for this service?
He will not not pay it. If I take it out of that account, their legal, their engineering services. It should be fine. We can put it as an amendment to that. They can write it as an amendment to the cost of service, which had $25,000 in it. I could take $1,000 out of that, I believe. Wasn't it $25,000 we appropriated?
It was $25,000 and they did $24,000.
Yeah. So we could take the $1,000 out of that and the other $8,000 out of my budget, take it out of my legal and engineering.
And we've only given them $22,800.
Right, they've only billed so much, $22,000 right now at this point.
So, you know, could you just tell them that? Like, we're working to find you more money?
Yeah.
And we know we have some that were originally budgeted, and then we just have to work with the treasurer to see what's left. And
when
we get closer to the end of the fiscal year.
He hates me waiting to the end of the year to do stuff. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah. He used my budget up all in the end of the last 2 months of the year. He's already got... Like I said, I'm comfortable to say that I could squeeze the 9 out. We do have to worry on my budget this year about that 15.5 that's been taken.
That's
out.
Already out.
Yeah, it's out. So it's out. It's out of stations right now. So I'm going to go into a negative in stations, but I think I can absorb it. In a couple other areas, I'm trying to make it so that I don't have to ask, I don't go over budget still, even with the 15.5 that he took out of us in the beginning of the year right now. Mm-hmm. And I think I can still do it by taking that 9 out. Because I do think they've gone over and above on some stuff. I don't think they should have had to chase Ray 3 times down. Looking for him, and everybody put the time in because they needed stuff from him, and they just couldn't get it.
But will we see reports?
That's what I'll find out tomorrow. I am actually going to be in an event.
We want to make it available as part of our public presentation. Commissioner Robinson is very upset.
Kind of hard to present without something that
we're looking at between 5,000 and 9,000.
Yeah.
Try to make a difference in that. Kind
but I'm saying, what I'll say is, you give us a report on this stuff right now, what we need, and then we'll start looking.
There'll be something.
Yeah. I'm not going to say you're going to get your 24,000, but damn sure. But yeah, you know, we can see what we can do.
You might get a third. Okay.
Yeah, I'm good there. Now you can go to your business.
New business? Crew paid time off. Treasurer's question. So the treasurer had a question. His question was, Chris has accrued vacation and sick time, and I don't think that he's in a position where he should be approving himself carrying that over. And personally, I don't know who else would approve that. I mean, I think as long as we have oversight and we know that he's staying within his budget and he's not gone during the hours when we expect to see him there,
I thought we'd just delegate that responsibility to the superintendent to satisfy the treasurer. Because he does fair and well there. It's never been a problem in the past. How long have you been working with this superintendent?
Since 2006 now? Wow.
So
about 15 years.
About this before.
Wow. That's quite a while.
Have you ever questioned about this before?
Never. Never. So not until the assistant treasurer got a hold of our handbook and read it and said that because when you guys voted, I have the emails in here and everything. When Brian passed, that's when it started. She read the handbook and said, well, the way we see it, Brian owes us 6 days. We don't owe him 9. because you let him take over his anniversary date. And I said, well, we're grandfathered in because we're actually hired date, but anybody else hired after us isn't. I said, that was, but that's not in writing in this book. And it does, it says in here that you will not let anybody carry over vacation time unless it's an extreme situation and only by the superintendent's say-so. I said, it was an extreme situation, and I said so. Every time? I said, yes, every time. Well, what do you want me to do? Ray said, just give us something to write on that. So gave him something to write for Brian. Then the next day, I gave him something to write on the next payroll that went in. Said, anybody else, all accrued sick time from before, after 2006 was okayed by Chris Wiseman. Now she states that because they put it in the books of last year that I had 6.5 days on my anniversary date of 11/9 left over, which I used 3 of them before the end of the month, and the following month I used 5 more days. So it's been my way for a long time not to take it off right then and there. I think actually it might have been because Brian was here then, and Brian was going to Atlanta, so I didn't want to take time off same time in the time before then. But here and there, I knew I was going to use them up. I've been doing it for I don't know how many years. And she said, the way I see it with the crew, well, I'm going to take 6.5 days off of that, and he only gets, you know, 100 and something hours instead of the 160 something that you guys submitted. So she says, I have a discrepancy with it. So Ray said he had a discrepancy with it. We talked about it. I said, this, I gave you that stuff. And then he contacted Tom and said, we don't think Chris can make the call for his own carryover. What they want me to do is make sure we put into the new handbook, into our handbook, that there can be carryover. That it put in the situation if somebody passes and they're ready for it.
Mr. Campbell is not going to let us reopen. He finished something. He doesn't want to revisit it.
That's what I said. Don't worry. We won't do it until after.
I think it's an addendum.
Yeah.
I don't think we have to reopen
the whole thing. It is something that needs to be done because you never think about someone dying on the job.
Right.
It's an unusual situation, but it can clarify some things. So. We don't have an issue in the future. I thank you.
Can we vote it? Do you have a language to submit today we could vote?
I really don't have any language.
So
it's just
our next meeting.
All you have to do is tell Tom he can call him and send a letter basically stating one way or the other whether you approve my 6.5 days that they have or you feel as though.
So I
guess we'll approve
that
it.
The chairman do that and that we figure out how to revise that section of the handbook at the next meeting.
Second.
So the motion on the floor is that we approve Chris Wiseman, our superintendent, carrying over his hours, his vacation hours, from the calendar year.
This is from 2017. They're doing the audit from 2017 right now, June of 2017.
So this is stuff that you've already used.
Correct. This is stuff that's already happened.
So then scratch that last that last clarification. So the motion is that we just allow Chris to document the need and to carry over time for himself and others in the department.
And it's probably a memo you should sign. So move.
Good.
All in favor?
Aye. You might have to, you know, send it to him in that words. We'll put it down that there was a motion made.
Maybe he's the ones that left.
I'll have Jen write it up for the motion itself, and you can either respond to Ray tomorrow with it,
yeah,
or something anyway.
And then we're gonna just put an amendment into the handbook.
Yeah, we can amend the handbook to it.
We'll do that at probably our next meeting or one future meeting.
Yeah, we might want to put that off until after the first of the year. I have the first of the fiscal year.
Okay.
I'll revisit, put down to revisit it, say sometime.
Yeah.
In July, August.
June is fine because I'm done.
We'll make an accommodation in the handbook to make sure that that's covered. And it's for the good of the department and the district water users.
Right.
To have
I'll tell you guys right now. I'm not trying to. If you guys told me I have to use it or lose it, you wouldn't see me in before that. You know, I would have used it up basically.
Right. Right.
It's past precedents that we've always done it that way. And I just have gone with what my former bosses did to me.
And we may want to say some. We may want to put some
correct
sideboards on it and say you can't carry it over for more than a year.
Well, yeah, you might want to put a limit on how much, you know, something like that. Yeah.
For the record, can I just say that I think John's doing a great job responding to people inquiring about the changes, and I see things on Facebook she's doing. I think it's great. I really enjoy working with her on it.
It's great.
And as far as my appreciation for Jen when I was there today, I noticed her cleaning up the floor, and she did a really good job.
All right. Could I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
In favor?
Aye.
Well, you don't have anything good to say about Jen?
I said it earlier. I told her she was doing a great job.
I do have a question. Is that something that's going to go into the...